नारायण नमस्कृत नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयत् नष्ट प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा गुड मॉर्निंग टू एवरीवन वी कंटिन्यू दिस मॉर्निंग क्लास श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 13 इन टेक्स्ट 7 कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट 7 Canto 5, Chapter 13 is actually entitled Further Talks Between King Rahugan and Jadbharat. That's specifically what it says. Further Talks Between King Rahugan and Jadbharat. Alright, so text 7. Surai hitra swakwa chane binacheta sujan vimuhyan upayanti kasmalam क्वचित् च गन्धर्वपुरं प्रविष्टा प्रमोदाते निवृत्तवान् मुहूर्तम् Word for word translation by Srila Prabhupada. Surai, by very powerful enemies, Kritashwa, all of whose possessions have been stolen. Kwacha, sometimes, Nivina Chetaha, very morose and aggrieved at heart. Sochan, deeply lamenting. Vimuhyan, becoming bewildered. Upayati, achieves. Kashmalam, unconsciousness. Kwachit, sometimes. Cha, also. Gandhavapuram, an imaginary city. In the forest. Pravishta, having entered. Pramodate, he enjoys. Nivritabhat, exactly like a person who has achieved success. Muhurtam, for a moment only. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes, being defeated or plundered by a superior, powerful agent, a living entity loses all his possessions. He then becomes very morose and lamenting their loss. He sometimes becomes unconscious. Okay. So he becomes very morose and lamenting their loss. Sometimes he becomes unconscious. Sometimes he imagines a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. He thinks himself fully satisfied if this is possible, but such so-called happiness continues only for a moment. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Gandhavapuram is very significant in this verse. Sometimes in the forest, a very big castle appears, and this is called a castle in the air. Actually, this castle does not exist anywhere but in one's imagination. This is called Gandhavapura. In the material forest, the conditioned soul sometimes contemplates great castles and skyscrapers, and he wastes his energy for such things, hoping to live in them very peacefully with his family forever. However, the laws of nature do not allow this. When he enters such castles, he temporarily thinks that he is very happy, even though his happiness is impermanent. His happiness may last for a few years, but because the owner of the castle has to leave the castle at the time of death, everything is eventually lost. This is the way of worldly transactions. Such happiness is described by Vidyapati as the happiness one derives upon seeing a drop of water in the desert. The desert is heated by scorching sunshine. And if we want to reduce the desert temperature, we need huge amounts of water, millions and millions of gallons. What effect would one drop have then? Water certainly has value, but one drop of water cannot reduce the heat of the desert. In this material world, everyone is ambitious, but the heat is very scorching. What will an imaginary castle in the air do to help? Srila Vidyapati has therefore sung, Tatala Saite Vari Bindu Sama Situmita Ramani Samaje. The happiness of family life, friends, and society is compared to a drop of water in the scorching desert. The entire material world is busy trying to attain happiness because happiness is the prerogative of the living being. Unfortunately, due to falling in contact with the material world, the living entity simply struggles for existence. Even if one becomes happy for a while, a very powerful enemy may plunder everything. There are many instances in which big businessmen suddenly become paupers in the street. Yet the nature of material existence is such that foolish people are attracted to these transactions, and they forget the real business of self-realization. Om Agina Tibirandasya Jnana Agina Shalakaya Chakshu Om Militam Dena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapata Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Shcham Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sagana Agunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Shcham E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Titanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shari Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyadi Shacharini Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Chishenama Ananda Lilamaya Vigahaya Nimabhya Divacha Vishindaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Sri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Sri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Sri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So here's the English translation of the text again. Sometimes, being defeated or plundered by a superior powerful agent, a living entity loses all his possessions. He then becomes very morose, and lamenting their loss, he sometimes becomes unconscious. Sometimes he imagines a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. He thinks himself fully satisfied if this is possible, but such so-called happiness continues only for a moment. Hare Krishna. So, Jat Bharat, if you've been, for those of you that have been hearing in previous weeks, the chapter 13, there's further talks between Japarat and Maharaj Jahugan. But 13 is devoted, a good part of it, I should say, is devoted to the material world being described to Maharaj Jahugan by Japarat as a forest. And there's fire in the forest. and all kinds of things are going on in the forest. Interestingly enough, some time back, Srila Prabhupada also made mention of a forest fire in another part of the Shastra, And he mentions what happens when a fire breaks out in the forest. Fire breaks out in the forest. These days, you know, Kali Yuga has progressed so much that sometimes people do crazy things. Going someplace for a picnic, they may leave. And I'm not even talking about the bad people. Just do some cooking, leave some fire and don't turn it out. I mean, they don't throw water on the charcoal properly. And later on in the evening, you might, you know, after they leave, turn into something horrible. Fire starts that way. But fire can start naturally also by just, you know, small twigs that are dry or that's still hanging on, like what you see in the wintertime, those of us that are in the winter areas, you see the trees are very, 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 remember, all the leaves are gone, and they are bare, like that. Now, if situations like that happens in the forest, and it can, and it doesn't have to be cold countries only. Even in the temperate countries, sometimes that happens also. Just, you know, the, after a while, the plants lose their bodies. So they're still there in the soil. I've seen this so many times when we were growing up in Ghana and West Africa. The soil is just there. Especially, you know, I'd even take one example that maybe some people are familiar with, those in the countryside in the United States. The farmers, they grow acres and acres and acres of corn. When Gidinagri, you know, the whole land, miles and miles before you get to Gidinagri, it's all farmland. And at some time in the year, just to this corn, the, you know, the farmers grow so much corn. And then they harvest the corn. And when they harvest the corn, the corn plant itself, obviously, they don't need it. They need the corn cob itself to take it out. But there's so much that's left in the soil. A lot of stuff is sticking out. Now, for those people who are like regular, not farmers, professional farmers, but those of us, and I was one of them, we just grew corn in a small garden, and we don't take a machine to take the whole thing out. We just take the corn off a cob, and then the corn plant is actually tall, hanging there. Now, that happens in the forest easily. These dry, the point we're making is these dry plants can rub against each other. In the Shastra, sometimes the idea of bamboo sticks, bamboo plant also gets dry and rubs up against each other. And a spark can create a fire. As a matter of fact, even now, the people who live, I know I don't want to spend so much time here, but forest fire. Anyway, we'll get to that point. But there's so many ways, you know, those who live very, very simply in the woods. There are still parts of this earth now that people are still living in the woods, you know. And the way they start fire, they don't have matches. They just take two dry twigs, and rub against the, and they blow on the sparks that form, and then it catches fire, and that's how they start a fire. They don't use matches. So easily, forest fires can happen. Now, so the example that Japarad is given, forest and then fire, very much because when the fire happens, then problems, a lot of problems. In the United States, or in not too long ago in Australia, it happened to them also. Big fire broke out in the woods. And it just spread and spread and spread. And some people even lose their homes. Such a disturbing situation, to say the least. Now, we know that sometimes we will see that sometimes through the news or even through YouTube. Somebody will make a video of it and show and all kinds of disasters in the material world. But still, we think we are happy here. Because the mind will say, well, it didn't happen to me. It didn't happen to my apartment complex. It didn't happen to my house. So I must be okay. I'm still going on. But we live in a planet. If we look at the whole planet, it's happening all the time. So where's the peace on Earth? Interestingly enough, sometimes one of the religions, I won't mention it, some people may know it, say, oh, goodwill to men, peace on earth. Yeah, in Kali Yuga, not much peace happens these days. That's the reality. So, why are we trying to live? Well, Kali Yuga is going to go on for another 427,000 years. It's 432,000 years total. We've done 5,000 years, as Prabhupada explains in the Shastra. Krishna has come in the end of Dwapara Yuga. He has come. The whole Mahabharata unfolded there. The Kurukshetra wars come. We have seen what Krishna has done. He's given us a huge, huge, huge benefit speaking the Bhagavad Gita in the battle of before the battle of Kurukshetra started. Spoke to Arjuna. Arjuna asked all the relevant questions. Krishna's answered all of them. We have this book. And then we have Srimad Bhagavatam as we're reading from. Even more description, detailed description. And this point here in Canto 5, which is quite an interesting canto, towards the end of Canto 5, it talks about the hellish planets and what happens to people in those hellish planets. All of this is there. So we have so much to awaken our minds, to awaken our minds about the material world. No matter what you do or look at it, what angle you look at it, it's not going to give you happiness and it doesn't give you peace. It doesn't. The body doesn't give you peace. The body gets sick. Ease is when you are at rest or feeling okay. Disease is the opposite. But disease happens all the time. Life is such that one person or one entity feeds on another entity for a living. And so the germs feed on us for a living. But when they feed on us, we get sick. And that's the way life is. They are trying to live, we are trying to live. But in trying to live, one feeds on another. Never happens in the spiritual world. So this is a situation that is very actually unfortunate. And Jack Barad is just explaining it from one text to another, one situation to Maharaja Hugan. Now remember, Jack Barad is a former emperor at that time, former emperor. He was Bharat Maharaj. He was the emperor of the entire planet. And two lifetimes later, the next lifetime from Jatparaj, he was in the body of a deer, an unfortunate situation. He neglected devotional service and it cost him. He was dealing with a deer. He wound up in the body of a deer. At the time of death, he was thinking about the deer. But Krishna pulled him out of the deer in a short while, and then he got born again as Jatparaj. He has seen wealth, an emperor of a whole planet, the son of an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharajasabadeva. What does he not know? What has he not experienced yet? And he's telling you. He's telling Maharaj Rahugan, of course, for our benefit. Maharaj Rahugan is also a king, but he's a king of two provinces. That's it, in India. Jayaparad was the emperor of the entire planet. And he says, Jayaparad was two lifetimes earlier, the emperor of the entire planet. And he's saying this material world, the one that owned practically all the wealth of the planet, he's saying, this material world, this earth that you're in, Maharaja Hugan, it's like a burning forest. Now, early on, he talked about the jackals, and he talked about the Akan tigers, and he related them to and snakes, to envious people. Jackal's family members sometimes, you do so much. Even if you love your family members, you still have to work for them. That's the reality. You still have to work for them. It's love, but then you also have a labor of love attached to it. You have to work hard as a grihastha to provide for your family. You do not have to work at all in the spiritual world. But we don't want to. Spiritual world has desire trees. Whatever you want, you ask, you get. Material world, you have to work hard. And sometimes, based on your karma, you're okay. Sometimes, based on your karma, you're not okay. It's called rich and poor. But every rich person gets sick. Every poor person gets sick. Every rich person gets old and the bones slow down. Every poor person goes through that. Every rich person dies. And it's not fun. Every poor person dies. Every rich person's death is even more disturbing to them because they're losing so much that they worked for. So, all right, well, I'll give it to my relatives and go get a will made, and this person gets that. Yeah? Well, the fact of the matter is you've lost everything. The reality is, if we weren't getting old and if we weren't going to die, we wouldn't make a will to give anything to anybody. It's because we're leaving that we make the will in the first place, because we're not going to be able to hang on to it anymore. But the fact of the matter is, we were born with nothing. We came to this material world with nothing. And death also takes whatever we work for away from us. So you can't take any, you don't bring anything, you can't take anything away. So who really is the owner? We? No, not at all. Not at all. The one that's the owner is the one who put these things there in the first place. And that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Krishna owns everything. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, I'm the owner. The source of both material and spiritual, everything emanates from me. That's why those who are wise, they only focus their life on Krishna consciousness. That's why Srila Prabhupada is telling us to focus our lives on Krishna consciousness. In other words, Srila Prabhupada is telling us, of course, Srila Prabhupada is representative of Krishna, he's a guru. Guru is representative of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is actually telling us, be wise. You keep going after material things, it's a waste of time. If you keep going on after material things, it's a waste of time. Now, of course, we have these physical bodies, so we have to live. And we have to take care of the physical body. That's there. That's part of our punishment of being in the material world. But one thing we're working hard to be happy, it is part of our punishment. Because in the spiritual world, you don't have to work. Much less work hard. You don't have to work at all. When we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, things that have happened. Who's working hard? Where is that? What did the gopis do? Everything is provided. The cows provide milk. Basically, they go take the milk from the cows, and they make whatever they want to make from it, milk products from it, or the milk itself. And the butter that comes from it, and by the way, it reminds me of one thing, about Gita Nagari. Many times we read that Krishna eats butter, right? Then we come back to this pastime. Krishna eats butter, it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Sometimes he goes to take butter from the gopis' houses, and the gopis basically act out that they are disturbed, that Krishna is taking, with the cowherd boys, taking the milk, the butter. But actually, they love it when Krishna comes to their house. Krishna is all attractive, right? Even when he was little now, it's just 4 or 5 years old, that time they were doing that, just for fun, with the gopis. Gopi mothers, they take the milk, they make butter, they hang the butter in the rafters, and Krishna comes when they're not around, and then they just make believe stealing butter. But Krishna is the owner of everything. He can't steal from himself, actually, because he owns everything. He owns everyone and everything. But just for fun, the cowboys have fun with him. And if you imagine that going on, don't have to work for a thing, don't need a paycheck, don't file taxes, any of that. Having fun. The boys have fun, the grown-ups have fun, and they're living a very, very simple life, but actually everything is provided. This is the way it is in the spiritual world. And we're trying so hard here to be successful. But our success means, as it says in this translation, sometimes we're defeated or plundered by a superior, powerful agent, and all our things are gone. Now, Jatparad was very careful to use a powerful agent. Sometimes it could be a personality. Sometimes a politician, that is a dictator, can make rules and take things away from people, whether they like it or not. And then historically, there's so many examples of it. Sometimes in the way the government is run, you say, oh, you have freedom. You can get into business and do whatever that you want. This is America. It's like that. And it seems to be, oh yeah, we can do whatever we want, but how many laws are not in this country? We have more laws that you can do this, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. So many laws are there. So how free are we really? We've given an imaginary freedom. Freedom really isn't there. Not only that, but at this point, some people have, and some people are above the law in some ways, and some people are, the laws are applied to them. And then in some particular ways, depending on the color of your body, the laws are applied more strictly to you than others. So where is the freedom? And that's supposed to be the richest country in the world. So we are in illusion if we think that we are doing okay. The material world won't make you okay. Srila Radha Maharaj said, Krishna is set up this place that when one becomes intelligent, uses intelligence and realizes that they're not going to be happy here, then you see how much of a jail this place is. It is really jail. We are used to jail being ones that have, you know, barbed wires and long, long walls and, you know, very high walls. You can't get out and people are in prison in there. Well, that's the jail that man has created. God's jail is very sophisticated. That's the material world. And unless he determines, you can't get out of it. You cannot get out of it. Here, on this earth, if you try to jump or go anywhere, the earth pulls you back. And we learned it in physics. It's called gravity. That's our jail force. The body is made for this atmosphere only. If you try to go somewhere else, this particular body won't fit that atmosphere. It's meant for this place only. And that alone tells you, you're just bound to the earth, this physical body. You try to get out, the force of gravity will pull you back. You jump up, no matter how far you go, you land back on here. You take a plane, you go up, the plane has to come back. You're in the air, traveling for a little while, but you have to land. Then you have to get back on this earth. You can't leave. You take a spaceship, you go look at other places, you still have to come back to this place. And if you try to go too far, the spaceship will burn because certain atmospheres, we cannot deal with the temperature that's there. Try going to the sun. Forget it. It is so hot. You can't. But there are those who are in the sun. Vibhishan or Surya is the demigod responsible for the sun. There's life there. Krishna can go there. The soul can easily be in different places because it says in the Bhagavad Gita, you cannot burn it. You can't wet it. In other words, this weather that we have here doesn't affect our soul. And that's the real us. That's the real person. But we are engaged in this physical body. So something is wrong with this picture. That's the point we're making. And that's the point Jaiprakash is trying to explain with different examples of this forest situation we're in. We cannot become only attached to the material body and dealing with the material body and think we are wise. It's a dumb thing to do, literally. Excuse me, using the heavy word like that. That's why Krishna sometimes comes and says, fools deride me, fools mock at me. They don't realize that I am in fact the source of all that beings. In the Bhagavad Gita, we depend on Krishna. And then we get the mercy by how Krishna has set up things. You go to Guru, you inquire submissively, you render service to him, you render service to the devotees. You take the instructions 100%, 100%, then Krishna points you to getting out of a jail requirements. And in Kali Yuga, it is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Jatpayat is explaining to Maharaja Bhugan, sometimes a person who is here, who's definitely suffering, imagines that there's a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. Many, many, many times, those who don't have much think, I wish I had this. I wish I had this kind of house. I wish I had this and this and this and this. Well, there are two stories behind this. I think hopefully you remember both of them. The first one is with this personality is quite popular in the whole world. He's left the body now. It was through boxing, true enough, that he became popular. African-American, handsome man. His name Muhammad Ali. Many people know Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali grew up poor. And in this country, he grew up poor and he wanted to be, you know, somebody who would be quite wealthy. And he used to think these things. If I had that, if I had this riches, that would be very, very popular and so on. How did I get to know about it? Well, Bhaktitira Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, somehow came up with a plan to get to see and to become friends with Muhammad Ali. So this was something that Muhammad Ali told Bhaktitira Maharaj, and Bhaktitira Maharaj preached on it, and I'm a disciple, and that's how I heard about it. So this is how, what we're sharing. So Muhammad Ali, this is Muhammad Ali's mind. As a poor person, he thought that it would be so wonderful if he could have the best looking cars in the world, the best house, and he was also quite a woman's man. Women from all over the world, different women, exotic women. He was just thinking that way. I wish I could relate them and call them from whenever I want. From all parts of the world. My house should have all kinds of furniture from different parts of the world and rugs from this country and this one from here and this one from here. And they're all set up. Well, what happened? He got them. Everything that he was wishing for, he got them. And then popularity on top of that. And what happened? He confided in Bhaktitira Maharaj. Now we can talk about it because he's left his body. He said, I wanted all these things. He said, Swami, here it is, 6:30 in the morning. 6:30 in the morning. My house is already full. Now, how many people would want to get up in the morning and the house is full? People just, you know, wanting to see him. People come early to his house. And he's a very kind person. He's not the kind that would, you know, all right, you can't come here and there are guards and this, this. He didn't live his life like that. So, his house is full. And many people that have come, they want... Well, some of them want to see me. They have their own imaginations of what they're going to get from me. They've come. They know there's wealth, though. So they're going to come. You know, there's going to be, you know, food. There's going to be drink. There's going to be all of those things. But nobody realizes that I need my sleep. I need my time to myself. But people are here. Muhammad Ali, unpopular Muhammad Ali, popular person, says, I've got all of these. But now that's made a prisoner of me. My life is really not quiet at all. Muhammad Ali is a very private person. Now, in times when he was going to fight, then he made a lot of noise and, you know, he was also poetic and all kinds of things he was using just to create publicity so that more people were watching and that means more money and therefore he can be paid highly. That's the only reason he was doing that. But he was a very devout, when he changed to Islam, quiet person. Anyway, the point we're making is, a person desires a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members. Muhammad Ali wished not for a whole city, but a very nice house and everything that he wanted in life. He got it and he wasn't happy. He actually was more miserable. He confided to Bhaktitira Maharaj. So here we are. The material wealth does not make you happy. It just makes you think you're happy. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the word Gandharva Puram is very significant in this verse. Sometimes in the forest, a very big castle appears. And this is called a castle in the air. But you know, castles are not in forests. Actually, this castle does not exist anywhere but in one's imagination. But in the case of Muhammad Ali, he had imagination and Krishna allowed it to happen. And then he realized that his peace of mind was taken away because he was happy. There's another personality that's a radio personality that left not too long ago, left the body. I know of him. Some people liked him. Some people didn't like him because of politics. His name is Rush Limbaugh. I'm not talking about Rush Limbaugh's things that he was talking about, Republican and Democrat. But one person asked him a question. Because in his show, you can ask a question. And they asked about himself. You have all this money. At the time, it's $288 million, something he was worth at that time. And it was published. So what is it like to be wealthy? Does wealth make you happy? Are you happy that you have so much money? So it was a personal question. And he doesn't, you know, back away from any kind of questions he asked. And he's quite straightforward. So he said, the money is there. That's true. I can buy whatever I want to buy. But ultimately, the money doesn't make me happy. He came right out and said it. And I couldn't have agreed with them more. So when I heard that particular part of the program, Krishna sometimes make me, I don't listen to radio very much, but sometimes for a reason, I'll just click on something for a short while and then something will come, oh, okay, so I can preach with this. So that's the point in this situation. This is a long time ago anyway. So Raj said, yes, the money is there. So the rich people can make you think that it's all wonderful because I have this, I have that, I have this, I have that. But actually, the happiness is not there. It doesn't come through money. It doesn't come through wealth. Not material wealth. Spiritual wealth, what we live here, based on what Srila Prabhupada is telling us to do. If we take it seriously, there's so much peace of mind that comes. Even when the body is giving trouble, the soul is still at peace. And it takes taking this process seriously to realize that. Peace of mind comes from Krishna consciousness, practicing it genuinely. And that's why Srila Prabhupada I spent tons of blood, gallons of blood, he said, I spent for, speaking in, figuratively, for every devotee. He was very, very concerned about the welfare of every single devotee. Even materially, because the material body that we use in serving, after all, in our situation, we're not like in a spiritual world where the soul is expanded and the soul serves. The material body we're using. So he was concerned about the material bodies, and he was also concerned about, definitely, the spiritual getting out of jail type situation for us in this Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada has preached for that purpose, to get us out, and translated what we're reading now, Jatparat, and giving purports to let us know one thing and one thing only. Krishna wants us back in the spiritual world. He's not happy that we're here. That's the bottom line. The way to get out has been described to us, and no matter what we do, whether we become rich or not, whether we live in places that look nice, neighborhoods that look nice or not, real happiness never really comes in the material world. You have to get out of here. You have to get out of here. Srila Prabhupada continues, even if you get a palatial place, he thinks he's happy. This person is in there. But his happiness is impermanent. We know why. Death comes and takes it away. You have to leave this place. Happiness may last for a few years. Lifetime is really a few years. 100 years is very, very short. If somebody lives 30 years, they leave the body, it's short. 50 years is short. 90 years is still short. Life is short in this place. Doesn't mean that somebody lives for maybe only 5 years. A 5-year-old person just left the body. We say, oh, this person hardly became even a teenager and they've left. But even an older person, When you get old, at a certain point, you look back and say, I'm 70 years old, I'm 80 years old. But it feels like I was only born yesterday. It is short. It feels short because it is short. Life is short. But what we do with it, though, that's more important. And the spiritual will always be important. The material will only be necessary because we have these physical bodies. We always have to put material situations out. The necessary things to do to keep going in this life that we're in. Materialism. Necessary things. Spiritualism. The important things to do because that gets us out of jail when we die. The material things won't get us out of jail. So we have this material body. You use it in doing spiritual things as a matter of importance. And the material things as a matter of, well, I'm a soul, but I'm in this body, therefore let me go on and see what I can do to make the body healthy enough so that I can serve Krishna and serve the devotees and serve Guru with it. That should be our consciousness all of the time, wherever we are. Rupa Goswami says, think of Krishna. So then we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Either we are doing it, or we are working, and some other musical, whatever gadget that can play music is playing that type of music so we can hear. Either we are saying it ourselves, or we're hearing it. The same mantra. The mantra is from the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's still sung in the spiritual world. That's where it came from. And there are so many wonderful and beautiful tunes with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the spiritual world. There are parties after parties after parties that go on in the spiritual world. And the mantra is definitely the major thing. And Krishna himself is the master of fun. That's what we're missing. The spiritual world is fun. So much fun going on. In different ways. Krishna relates in different ways. Now, in the Vaikuntha planet, the soul is there. The souls in the Vaikuntha planet different from Goloka Vrindavan. So we just want to make the distinction so we see how fortunate we are. That's the Prabhupada has come and has given us this program. In the Vaikuntha planet, there is awe and reverence. The goddesses of fortune are the eternal consorts for Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan is the one that is for each spiritual planet, there's one Lord Narayan. So there's a lot of Lord Narayans, as many Lord Narayans as there are billions and billions and billions of the Vaikuntha planets. But his service, the service to him, major service to him, is the eternal consort herself. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, with Lord Narayan. Do we get to relate as just souls in the Vaikuntha planet to Lord Narayan the way Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, relates to Lord Narayan? The answer is no. You have to relate to him as a king. In the Shastra it says awe and reverence. So those in the Vaikuntha planets, although they are souls like us, but in the Vaikuntha planets, you relate to the Lord in awe and reverence. Now, that last and the biggest planet, the farthest one away, it's called Goloka Vrindavan. And that place, the same quality souls are there. But the relationship with Krishna is different. There are several types of relationships, and every single soul has a type of relationship with Krishna. You cannot be Krishna's parent in any Vaikuntha planet except Goloka Vrindavan. You cannot be Krishna's friend. You can be Krishna's servant in the Vaikuntha planet, but you cannot be a friend in the sense of like just regular friends, loving each other, playing each other, playing with each other. You can't get that even in the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual world. But Goloka Vrindavan, you can do that. You can be Krishna's lover. So the variety of fun is several times more in Goloka Vrindavan than the rest of the Vaikuntha planets. And that's where Srila Prabhupada is taking us. How fortunate we are. And what do? We chant Hare Krishna, not 64 rounds, but 16 rounds minimum. If we understand that, why should we not chant way more than 16 rounds? If time permits, we always should do that. We have to pour our love into this because we are really fortunate. Krishna is the one that's arranged. Guru is the one that's arranged. They've given us far more love than we can think of, much less even give to him. We should be very grateful. If we don't understand how to love, we should be grateful for what's ahead of us. Because not only are we leaving the material world with this process, but we're going back to the, not to Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world only, but the most wonderful planet, one, and it's only one of them. Goloka Vrindavan is one in the spiritual world. And then on top of that, this particular planet in India is a replica of Goloka Vrindavan. The pastimes, because Krishna, of course, that's Krishna's arrangement. The pastimes take place at a spiritual level in Vrindavan, India, with Krishna and the gopis. And this is a fact. And we say it's a fact, even though some of us, of course, most of us haven't seen. But Srila Prabhupada will reveal one thing today. Srila Prabhupada actually let that be seen by one of the sannyasis. And he said it, because it's maybe the touchy thing, name that particular sannyasi, but we all know him. He had a vision at night, and he went to sleep and had a vision. In the vision, he was in Vrindavan, India. We're not so fortunate, generally. People aren't so fortunate, generally. But this time, it's made available. In fact, sometimes people don't even know the existence of that particular planet. So we're not only the planet available, Lord Chaitanya's time, when he comes, then it's made available. We won't get into the details of that. This is all Krishna's plan, anyway. In Lord Chaitanya's time, when he's here, this pastime repeats itself. And Krishna is arranging like that. In Lord Chaitanya's time, definitely the opportunity to go to the spiritual world and to Goloka Vrindavan is definitely made available. So we have this opportunity to go and be in the most wonderful planet in all of existence. This is what we have now. And Srila Prabhupada has made it easier for us to go. So why stay in the material world? Why take this process lightly? This is a scorching desert. The water that we say we want, which is happiness, is only a drop. Srila Prabhupada is describing it. How much are you going to get? How much help are you going to get from one drop of water falling into fire in the desert or fire in the forest? The happiness of family life, friends, and society is compared to a drop of water in the scorching desert, the Papa says in the purport. The entire material world is busy trying to attain happiness because happiness is a prerogative of the living being. Yes, the soul is what? Satchidananda. Its nature is to be all having all knowledge, never dying, and always having fun. Happiness is there. It's nature of a soul. But the soul is in the material world. That's the problem. So Srila Prabhupada says, unfortunately, due to falling in contact with the material world, the living entity simply struggles for existence. So, not that the struggle for existence is going to stop right this minute. We can be liberated mentally. And that is very, very satisfying. When we take the Krishna consciousness and we're convinced that this is the best thing for us, then we are liberated mentally. Physically, we will still go on. And when you're liberated mentally, physical work doesn't affect you as much as if you're in anxiety and then the physical body is also trying to work. It's more taxing. But when you understand that, okay, so this is the life. It was unfortunate I came here. I will get an opportunity to go. Srila Prabhupada has been merciful. Now we have the opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because it's our ticket out and everything else that goes with it. I mean, the qualities of the body, I'm going to practice that. the hearing, the nine processes, hearing, chanting, praying, offering obeisances, worshiping the deity, becoming Krishna's friend, becoming Krishna's servant, Atma Nivedanam, surrendering fully. Everything that one has, we should find a way, we should find a way to use it in serving Krishna and Krishna's devotees. That is the smartest thing to do. So, if one becomes happy for a while, a very powerful enemy may plunder everything. In other words, sometimes, and I've seen this happen, natural disasters. Somebody's built a very nice home, and what happens? There's an earthquake, there's a tsunami, big tidal wave. It happened in Japan not too long ago. Nice houses. And he just came and just watched it, and this whole big 30-foot wave came, and it just passed to the shore and then to the coastal area and all the buildings and broke up everything, and the cars and everything. It's just a pile of, you see this water with a pile of broken things. Houses that are broken, everything is gone. And it's just coming, and people just have to go for higher ground. Higher ground? Is that living? I thought they were rich. Some of the most wonderful cars have been made in Japan. And it just comes, the weather comes to boos everything, just everything away. And people are just killed. And people have sometimes go to the highest thing and they're sitting in there and watching. I saw this on YouTube. Watching their possessions all being broken into bits. This is the material world. This is called happiness. We can't be happy here. So that's what the point is that Prahlad is making. Material existence is such that foolish people are attracted to these transactions, and they forget the real business of self-realization. So we are to get out. We are to get out. Develop those transcendental qualities. Be clean. Be forgiving. Be free from envy. Be free from the passion for honor. Be steadily determined. Be gentle. Be modest. Be truthful. And then chant Hare Krishna, so that Krishna can take us back. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Here's the text again. Sometimes being defeated or plundered by a superior powerful agent, a living entity loses all his possessions. He then becomes very morose, and lamenting the loss, he sometimes becomes unconscious. Sometimes he imagines a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. Riches. He thinks himself fully satisfied if this is possible, if it becomes possible. But even if it becomes possible, such so-called happiness continues for only a moment. Of course, death comes to take it all away. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So,
thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice mind, Prabhu. A lot of points reminded. In the beginning, you reminded about gravity. We celebrate the discovery of Newton. Newton invented gravity.
Yeah.
Please, she invented the bondage for the jail. And we teach kids, like, Newton invented, discovered gravity and all those things.
Yeah.
And also, Shabbat, material lust is also one of the bondage. One more thing, right?
Yes.
Chain bondage.
Material lust, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. There is real happiness in the spiritual world. Whatever that we think about in this place, some people even, we talk about sex life and so on, people enjoy that and so on. But if you read towards the end of the purport, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first text, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 1. Towards the end of it, Srila Prabhupada brings about the purport, says, this is a diseased condition, this material sex life we're having. The actual sex life is in the spiritual world, and it is spiritual. And it doesn't have this kind of lusty thing attached to it. It is all done in a loving way. Of course, we don't even know how to love so well. So much we're missing. So there's nothing here.
Yeah,
there's nothing here to make us happy like the way it is in the spiritual world. It's not possible. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it's like chewing the chew. Like, bottom of the body, we go up to the animal life, same after same. We are bound by lust here.
Absolutely.
The shackles of lust come here. It's very difficult to reach the spiritual world. And Prabhu, you also said something about after Muhammad Ali, one more person who said millions of dollars. What's the name of that person? Who is the second person who is the example of? The second person who was very, very rich.
I talked about Muhammad Ali and then I talked about Rush Limbaugh. It's true.
Oh, okay.
Muhammad Ali was a boxer and then Rush Limbaugh is a radio personality.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali, I've heard of the great boxer, but who is the other person? Who is he? I've never heard of that person.
Oh, okay. He's just he's a radio personality that talks about politics.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you haven't heard about him, good. You're a good devotee. There's not much to hear from me anyway. It's the politics between Democrats and Republicans. And he had a very successful radio show and he basically just talks the material stuff and people just agree with him because, you know, and so he was very popular and he made a lot of money that way. He has a big contract. That's all.
I see.
Yeah. Actually, but I'll give him credit for one thing though. He was quite religious. He was funny and he was kind of a comedian too in a sense. He was a he was talking politics, but he was also being a comedian. And he said that his talent comes from God. He just came right out and told him, my talent comes from God. Talent on loan from God. He used to just play like that, which is actually nice. So he was spiritual. In a sense, in his own life, he was spiritual. But he was doing politics just like, you know, it's another job, but he had a big contract because he was good at it in discussing politics between Republicans and Democrats, and he was on the Republican side, which is one of those. Yeah, so anyway, when they asked him about money, he came out honestly and said, it can't make you happy. You can buy all kinds of things, but it really can't make you happy. Which is true.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
That's yes, wrong. Hare Krishna, thank you, Babu. You want to answer any question? Please ask.
Okay. Looks like there's nobody here, so no questions.
Even end the call then to me, one shekel for
through
a
shekel. Pass to me, Avita, Titan. Pass to me, Avita, Jai. 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 Thank you
for
worrying. Hare Krishna.